Well, again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We are going to focus on a message specifically to fathers this morning, but I believe everybody can receive the Word of God. You can receive from any part of the Word of God. It's inspired. It's His words, and so it's going to be specifically geared toward fathers, but we can receive. The Word of God is good, and everybody will be able to receive. But I just want to wish you guys happy Father's Day, and enjoy this day, and just spend a few minutes just focusing on some things related to fathers. Let's look at James 1, verse 16. I thought about this verse as I was preparing for this. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So don't think the wrong thing. Being deceived means you believe something that's not true. Verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." In the NIV, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So in thinking about this message, I thought about this verse. There's so much here just in these verses that if we get these things straight, it'll help us, but specifically with fathers. Just some things specifically with we as dads, some things, because we're modeling after God the Father. We're not God. I hope everybody understands that. Some people, sometimes you every once in a while you get somebody thinks they're Jesus or thinks they're God. Well, we're not. We're God's children. He is our example, though. As far as fatherhood, God is our Father. He is our Father. And so then we can look to Him on how are we supposed to do this thing? How are we supposed to be fathers? But if you put that up, we'll go back to James 1:16, and then we're going to read a lot of other verses, but just want to say a few things getting started here. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So don't think on the wrong thing. You know, I just want to say this in a side note, the next verse we're going to say that every good gift comes from Him, but it says don't be deceived. So don't be on the wrong thing. God, because there's religious teaching, men's teaching, it's not the Bible, that somehow God can be your problem. God is not at your back. If you go to Him and you're walking after Him, His will is good for us. Amen. Always. Amen. It's never, destruction is never His will. You go throughout the Word of God, it is never His will. He wants to bless mankind. Amen. He is not the problem. Now, if we'll come into line with what He says and go after Him, His will is always good. So we need to know that. But the next verse says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." So everything good and perfect, that's from God. "With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So God is a good God. We as fathers, we're not going to be perfect. You can say amen. It's all right. We're not going to be perfect. Anybody, we're human. So that's where God the Father is perfect. We as human beings are not. Now that's not an excuse. That's not a pass to go, well, it just doesn't matter. No, it matters. Fatherhood matters. But here's the thing. We're not going to be perfect at it. It's a tall order. It's not easy. But we can look to God, He'll help us. But as fathers, we're to be ones that when our kids look to us, we want to be conveyors of good, a safe place, people that we want to be someone that you're supportive, you're helping, you're somebody that they can go to, that look, dad may not be perfect, but I know, ultimately, He wants what's best for me. That'll go so far, and we're going to say some more things about that. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In the NIV, that same verse that we read, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So another thing about God, and like we're going to expound on some of these, he's not all over the place. And one thing I want to bring out this morning with God, with us as fathers running after God for our families, is that one of the aspects of a father is he's just there behind the scenes with the kids. Regardless, that ultimately our goal, again, we're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to tell you I'm perfect. My kids are here. I'm not a perfect person. But here's the thing. In our imperfection, we can still be steady. You know what I mean? And conveying, we're not supposed to convey this unattainable height for our children. We're supposed to just be as human fathers walking on the earth. What we're supposed to be conveying is, I'm here. I may not be perfect. I may make a mistake. But here's the thing. If we'll own it and get up and move on and convey to them, yeah, I blew it, but I'm still here. I'm still going after God, and I still love you. Well, that speaks volumes. Kids don't expect us to be perfect. But just coming back and getting up when you fall down, when you get off the mat and keep going, that's speaking volumes. If we think we miss it, so now, well, I can't take it, I'm out. Well, not communicating with our kids the fact that I did miss it, I blew it, but I'm still here, speaks more than if we'll just communicate with them and they see, well, Dad missed it. Dad isn't perfect. Dad got up. He's still there. That allows them to keep going in their life because that's how God works with us. So let's look at a little bit of this. Psalm 91. Before I go on, the one thing I want to say, and we'll relate more of this as well before we read Psalm 91, is the most important thing, truth, that a father can pass on to his children is a love for God. Everything else pales in comparison. There is nothing you can give your children that surpasses that. No amount of money, no skill. Nothing else. All that stuff will pale. All that stuff will fade as soon as we leave this earth. But a love for God, going after Him, that will last for all eternity. That's the core of life. We are created in God's image to know Him. And if we can convey that thing, if we can convey that to our children, see, if we put anything else ahead and we're saying, well, we're conveying this, but we fall down there, we've missed it. If we can convey that, no matter what else you do or do not give them. I'm not saying we shouldn't. The Bible talks about a lot of things that we ought to be. But if we can convey them a love for God that surpasses our direct influence on them, in other words, we're not going to have them in our presence, it just be around them for all their days. We're only stewards for a while. If we can instill in them a love for God that goes beyond when we're in their presence or directing any kind of direct influence on them, that is conveying that to that next generation. Now they can walk with God and they can move on. Now they can get their answers from God. We've done our job. That's the core. There's not that there's no other aspects, but that's the core. Let's look at Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide This is looking at God the Father, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear, looking at what God the Father is like, this is an image of what we aspire to. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. In Psalm 94, verse 16, in the NLT, it says, who will protect me from the wicked? Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had helped me, I would have settled in the silence of the grave. I cried out, I am slipping. But your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. See, that's what God the Father does for us. You see how he's solid. He is a refuge. He is the one that we can cry out to when you say, I'm slipping, I'm getting pressed. Help. Well, part of what the Father is to be that place. And again, we may have missed it. All of us have missed it. All of us can come up. But we can know that God will help us to do this as fathers, because what we are is someone that's standing in, a human, giving them a picture so that they can have a relationship with God, the Father. And so God will help us to do this, to be there, and to be as someone that they can call out to, say, hey, I need help. I'm slipping. I'm getting pressed. Help me. Now, all the things what we're saying this morning, I've said this before, but you know, sometimes you have a Mother's Day and it's all, the whole thing is how great mothers are and it's flowery and they're so awesome and everything. And then you get the Father's Day and the dads come in, they feel like they got beat up before they leave. It's like, dads, you stink and we need to come up. That's not this message this morning. Never. God, that's not God, and I hope you'll see this as we go on. That's not God the Father's heart for us as fathers. Amen. Fatherhood is not easy. You are, I am, given the role of helping our kids shape a picture of what it means to have a relationship with God the Father. And that can seem like, well, count me out. I can't do this. That's too much. Here's the thing. None of us are qualified to do that. If anybody wants to stand up and say, I'll represent God, I'm good enough, you have other issues. I have other issues. We have a misunderstanding of where we're at in life. No, none of us can do that. But here's the thing. He gave us the role anyway. Even though we're imperfect, he gave us the role. Even though no guy in here, if we got together afterwards and talked, you see, no guys, they'll just stand and be like quiet and nobody's going to act like they have any kind of flaws at all. That's what generally guys don't want to talk like that. But God knows everything and he knows we are. And I know from being around a lot of people and guys and myself, you get pressed as a man and as a father. And Satan, because we're not perfect, will hammer you into this and say, you're not qualified to lead your home. Hits you to try to get you to back off the very thing to press in. He'll try to get you. You're not qualified. Back off. And the reason you back off is because of that condemnation, not because you actually can't do it, not because God the Father isn't there for you, not because he's not helping you, but because you feel like you're not qualified because you're not perfect, because we're not perfect and we're not qualified. But God the Father will help us to actually stand in this, even though in and of our own selves, we're not. And if I can get anything over you today, these things we're talking about, that God will help us to do it, to stand, if we'll just be willing. Because when you're living with a family, when you're living with a spouse, when you're living with children, they're going to see you as you are. And the temptation is to say, I blew it, and to not admit it, because if I admit it, then I admit that I'm not right, when they already see that, and to back off and to say forget it, or to walk away, or to say, and I'm not saying literally walk away, but inside to be like, too much, I go into another mode, I'm not going to even try that. I'm not going to admit when I miss it. But see, that's the very thing by getting up and going on that is actually showing them our relationship with God, and in turn is passing that on to him. Well, if God can love dad and dad keeps going on anyway, well, maybe I want to serve that God. Maybe because you know what? They're going to get to the point where they know they're not perfect. Youth is ideal. But you live long enough, you realize I wasn't as good at that as I thought I was. I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. Life will do that. Over time, you can realize, wow, I had my ideals up here. Not that we shouldn't look to God and look to him to help us and what the Word of God says. It's not that you have low standards. You just understand what the standards really are. And you understand that where you thought you were here, maybe actually, if you look at the whole world and everything that God is and everything that can be done, there's a lot I don't know. And that's a humbling process. And when you watch, when you're doing it in front of kids, it can be like, man, that's tough. But God the Father will help us to just steady. When we know these things of who he is to us, when we know we can cry out to him and say, God, I'm slipping here. Help me. And we know his heart toward us is not to push you away, but to bring you in and help you. That actually allows us to press in and go, well, with your strength, I can do this. With me, I can't, but with you, I can. Amen. See, the world will tell you, well, you don't need God. You don't need these things. That's a crutch. No, God created us to know him. You can't do it any other way. You can't be a godly father without him. There's nobody smart enough, nobody moral enough to do it. The only way you can do it is with his help. Amen. The only way to do it is to lean into him and say, well, let's just get that out of the way. I'm not qualified. So how am I going to do this thing? I'm going to just get smarter and get, no, I'm going to rely on God and I'm going to humble myself before him and say, I need help, and model, kids, you need help. Dad needs help. You need it. Well, I'm instilling something to them that they can take with them far past my direct relationship. See, if I'm just pushing on, you behave this way, well, that'll work in your presence. But when they're out of your presence, you know they're going to do something else. And when they're out of your house, they're going to do something else. That's not the goal. The goal is not to get letter perfect behavior from our children. We want a standard. The goal is to instill a heart that when you're not around, they'll serve God. You pass on that they'll have that relationship. So we're part of that. God is steady. God is stable. God is not changing. He is a person we can run to. He already knows where we're at. And so we can go to him. We need to know that as fathers so that we can model that. We need to be that person that they can go to. See, a lot of people have the picture of God that if you go to him, he's going to beat you down. Like he's looking at just like, you know, a guy with a fly swatter just waiting for you to make a mistake so you can swat you. A lot of people have that picture, and we can have that as fathers. Like, well, I can't go to him. I know where I'm failing. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go to him. I know I should be higher. But that is not the heart of God. If we get the picture of God that I can go to him and he's a God that's merciful, that he's a God that's loving, that he's a God that's patient, then I can learn to go to him. Well, now I can model that for my kids. I'm not trying to be hard to them. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In the Amplified Classic, it says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. In the Message, it says, fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. So the way to do this, this isn't just a direct thing saying, well, you just don't, it, but he said it to fathers, because we as fathers, we can have a tendency to push them to where they say, forget it, I can't do it, to give up. The way around this is to understand God the Father and that he's not that way to us. So as we go to him and realize he's not, if he's telling us to do this for our kids, then he's not that way for us. So we need to understand he's not that way to us, because you know as well as I do, if you're under pressure at work, if you're at pressure financially, if you're under pressure in health-wise, it's so easy to snap at other people and to be hard on them. But you know when you're at the place where things are going well, you're relaxed, you know people, when you can start feeling like you feel judged at work, you feel under pressure, you feel judged in a group of people, it makes you hard on people. It makes me hard on people. But when you're around some people that are accepting, when you're around people that have your back, oh, it's so much easier to be kind to people, isn't it? Well, if we're under constant a place where we think we're not doing it right, we're under pressure, and we believe it's coming from God, who we're supposed to have a relationship with, I am automatically going to be hard on people. And that includes on our kids. But the way around that is, it's not to go, stop being hard. That's just more pressure that's going to push you into being hard. That's like I'm failing. No, I'm just, why? You know, you get hit, it's the tendency is to hit even the people that we love, is the ones because they live with us that see the most. And that can spill over. But if we'll realize what God is to us, that he's not that to us. He is not waiting. He is not condemning. That he is actually loving. That he is actually merciful. That he is actually there to help us. That he is supposed to be the one that is a rock that we're crying out to and going, God, this is pushing on me. Now help me. And know that he is there to help, not to push us away. Now we can bring that to our kids. And when they come to us, we're not putting them in the situation that we're trying to avoid in our own life. We're actually there to go, yeah, all right, I get it. Let me talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let me help you. But notice it says that we are supposed to bring them up. I like the way it says it in the Message at the end. If you can put Ephesians 6 verse 4 again. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. What does that mean? You're walking with them. I'm giving you a bunch of things out here that I'm not doing. It means that I'm walking with. And just doing that is a steadying force. We're a guide and a support to our children to counter all the rot and the godlessness that's in the culture. And if they see somebody that's like, well, that's not the way I'm going, I am going to walk with you and show you how to do this. That is a steadying force. We're to help them to stay on course when the world is pulling them away from what is right. We're just to say, yeah, well, I see that. See, go and get away from that at school. Stop that at school. And shout and telling them from a distance is not the same as walking with them and saying, yeah, I see that. But here's the way. This is what the word of God says. Here's the best thing for you. Not giving them just behavior things, but giving them the why and what we should do, and then walking with them through it. Being that person that they can talk to, not overreacting to something, not when they tell them, because here's the thing, jumping ahead a little bit. When we understand, if we'll think back to when we were kids, or the things that we did, or the situation, sometimes it's like we're talking where we're at now with all our understanding, but if we go back to when we were that same age, and realize there were certain things that we did in our mentality and the way we saw the world, it'll give us mercy and help us to actually communicate and go, wait a minute, I wasn't there either. Actually, yeah, I actually did worse than what you're talking about. Actually, I handled that situation worse than you just told me. But our tendency can be just like, you did what? You don't do that. Yeah, we learned that 10 years ago. When we're decades older than they are now, and if we look back, we didn't learn that. We weren't even doing as well as they're doing. And so if we'll walk with them and we have mercy to be with them and mercy to think of where we're at, it'll help us. But there is just the concept of walking with them and not just commanding them, but walking with them and bringing them up. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the NLT, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. In Psalm 127, let's skip down to verse 3. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. He said, verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. That means you're directing them. Like an arrow shooting it, we're helping those kids to go in that right direction. We're part of that. Here, that's the way you go. Yeah, I know everybody else is doing it that way. Now, son, daughter, here's how we go. Walking with them, not like, do it, we'll see you next week. Oh, you didn't do it? Well, do it. See you next, what, you didn't? No, we're walking with them going, yeah, I get that. Here, let me tell you a story of when I was in school, what they were doing. Let me give you a story of how, what I did. And you know what really helps them? How you messed up worse than they messed up. Yeah. I'm not saying you go into nitty-gritty details that maybe you don't need to share. But you know, they made a mistake. Instead of going, why'd you make this mistake? What's going on with you? And if we would humble ourselves, and we're all guilty of it, we stop and go, yeah, don't worry. I mean, I see that. Yeah, we'll take care of it. Let me tell you something that I did. And it's worse than they did. You know what that does? That takes the pressure off. And you know what it does? It makes us human. You know what it does? It makes us relatable that, hey, Dad's not here to beat you up for the stuff. Dad's here as somebody like you that actually knows what you're talking about. That's a relation. That helps them to go in the way that they should go. That helps them to understand that you understand. You don't understand everything. The culture may be a little different, but the essence is the same. You know, I mentioned this a few weeks back, but you know, you see these like translation things, like somebody will put a post up and they'll have some words from the current generation and then they'll translate what those words mean, you know, the generation up and the generation up. Like what we used to say, now they say, you know, I'm not going to even give any examples of that now because probably the stuff I'm saying are already dated because it moves so fast. But anyway, I'll say it like this. You know, like the word cool, you know how old the word cool, where that really was starting? It's like in the 40s, 30s, 40s, like jazz. People would be like, that's cool, man. It's that old. I mean, let's get like 90 years old. But, you know, that's kind of in the background culture. People will say cool. I never was in this. This was like my parents' generation. People would say groovy. Never did that. I've never used that legitimately in any sentence ever. That was like, you don't want to be associated with that. I've said this before. Like people, when I was growing up, people started to say awesome. Everything was awesome. You know, now I know you can give me some example. I know a little while I was like, that's lit. What do you say now? That's old. Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot. You don't need to put me on the spot. Anyway, people say this stuff. Fire. I know when somebody says they're cooked, that's bad. What's it when you're doing really well? Like somebody on the field though is really doing well. What?
Cooking.
Okay, that's it. Anyway, you can see. So that's all change, and you cannot. If you know somebody like me, if I try to actually say this and act like that's my language, I look like an idiot. That is not. That's not cool to see. Cool. That's not cool to them. That's not like you're relating. It's like you're trying too hard. Just stop it. Just you're not. So that's why I didn't even try. But if you can say, if you can relate to where, look, I don't get what you guys are, it changes, and it changes so much faster. I don't get that, but I can say there was a set of stuff that's similar. Now, that still won't think it's similar to say you guys are still ancient. It still was different. But if you can somehow convey, give examples. And especially with where your humanity, that you weren't walking it out perfect, and suddenly when you became a parent, that you all started doing it perfectly, but that they realize, Dad did that, it was stupid. Wow, that makes me feel good. That I didn't do it that bad. That helps. Not to do it like the world is, like Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world. So don't try to be like, well, okay, my family, I got to do it like everybody out there is doing it in order to get with to relate to my kid. That's not going to help. In the NLT, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but understand that there are behavior and customs, and the kids are dealing with it. And acting like, well, they don't know, they should just not care about. No, that's hypocritical. We cared about it. It might be different, but we cared about it. So, but the answer isn't to go after the world and do it everything the way people that don't believe God is. That's not going to help. That's not the way. The way is to relate to where they are, but model the behavior that's based on the Word of God, but help them to see that you relate to them and you can understand, but steadily, and you're a steady force for a better way based on God's word of handling life. Now you're not alienating them, putting out there. You're not wishy-washy like we read in James 1:7 that God is steady. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't want to be changing all the time like, oh, something's different in the culture, so now Dad just goes with that. That's unsteady. But at the same time, not say, well, it doesn't matter and cut them off and alienate them. That's that understanding part of God. So the balance coming in and going, I get it. I understand. But here's why. And the why is so important. Just telling them what to do, but not telling them why. Here's why. Because you know that looks fun, except that'll kill you. That looks fun, except you know that's going to alienate other people. That looks fun, except that's going to destroy your body. And walk them through that and say, look, I understand, but here, this is the better way. That's a connection. That's the way God does with us. Look at Psalm 103, verse 13. It says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him or reverence him, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children. So God treats us like this. If you go back to 13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Well, that's how God's God. And he looks at us and goes, yeah, I understand. You're a person. You're walking like this because you got pressure, and he's compassionate. Well, if we understand that about God, we as fathers, we're looking at our kid and we can go, yeah, you're a kid. And have compassion and mercy. You'll figure it out. But instead of that hardness, just like God, God could be like, stupid person, why don't you figure it out? But he's not that way. The Bible says he is slow. Look at Psalm 86:15. But you, Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. In the NIV, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So if God, who has every moral and legal right to reject us and to say, I'm not putting up with your stuff anymore. Instead, he sent Jesus to pay the price for us and to be compassionate and merciful. And he's patient with people that are completely rejecting him. And if he's that way to us, and we know that and we get to know him, then we can say with our kids, yeah, I understand. And we can be patient. You're a kid. You don't see. Let me help you. Because you know what? That's part of what we're doing, is just being there, walking through, steady. Steady. Not saying you're perfectly steady, but you show up. I'm saying in life, you're there. Whatever the situation in life may be, you're there. Whatever the details may be, in some form, they know if I talk to you, I can relate to you. And the only way we're going to truly be able to do that is when we look to God the Father. He's modeling for us, but as we look to him, he can help us to be that for our kids so that we can instill that love for him. And it's not a snap thing. It's not something that we go, you know, in 1 week, you can't make that up where you just cram it. It's just little things over time, over time, over time. Admit when you're wrong. Get up when you get knocked down. Communicate with your children. Be real. Be vulnerable. Be humble. Admit where you missed it. And it's just doing that over time. Not perfectly, but as unto God. And God will use that to help those kids follow him. He'll use us because that's what he set it up. Of course, the word of God tells us whatever he's putting on our heart and whatever his word says, we endeavor to do that. But no, right where we're at, he's going to use it because he instituted fatherhood. He doesn't expect perfect fathers. He just expects people that trust him enough to model it in front of their kids. Amen.